You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Not only make disciples in the church I was pastoring, but eventually become a pastor of my own. And that's where my heart was for Hawaii and trying to reach people in Hawaii. That God really put that in my heart. And the Lord really spoke to me very clearly that where he wanted me to start a church, which I thought was going to be in the big city of Honolulu, was going to be in a place called Kihei Maui. And it was a word that was given to me. I heard God's voice to do that, and that's what we did in 1980.
Did you hear an actual audible voice?
Audible voice.
And what I did, I have too, so you know, I'm such a stranger here. Some people listening to it may think we're odds, but what did he say specifically to you?
This is where I want you to start the church. Just that.
Those words.
That's right here.
Did it scare you that you heard an audible? First time he spoke to me, I said, please don't talk to me. I'm psychotic.
I heard the Lord maybe 7 times in my life.
Wow.
But this is one of them. And I tell you, because there was very few churches in Hawaii at this time, back in the 60s. A lot of Asian influence that they've had there, and but God was moving, and was Jesus moving in particular. But in Maui, the churches were very small, 50, a lot of home churches and stuff like that.
You thought, hey, I'm going to be in the big city, but you want me here?
The biggest church was 150. At the
time. So were you disappointed or no?
Not disappointed. I just I was amazed here in Maui. And so I followed up with it, and I got talked to the pastor. I was associate pastor in Hope Chapel in California at the time, with the goal of learning how to do church, you know, through the pastor. And
so you had this pastor mentor.
Yeah, I loved the church that he was doing. I thought, this is what I'd like to do in Hawaii. And so I thought it was going to be Honolulu, because that's the big city, that's Ephesus, that's Rome, you know, Corinth. Yeah. But no, this was a little tiny little spot. It was only 6,000 people.
Well, O Bethlehem, how small you are, house of bread, out of you shall come the Savior, you know, this little teeny tiny man.
Oh,
God likes small things, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And so so we were obedient to that calling, and so we started Hope Chapel, and that was in 1980.
Wow.
And I did that for 40
1980.
Years.
1980?
Yes.
I got born again in 83. You're the Bible.
83.
You're the Bible.
Oh,
Dean says such by you, Ronald Reagan. Yep.
That's a good memory on that one.
Yeah, started watching Pat Robertson, and I was attracted to him because he spoke softly and gently, not screaming at me like these guys on TV, you know.
Pat Robertson, God bless him. Man.
God bless America.
Running for the president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in his audience the first time, and I said to my friend David, I said, David, he has the presence of a president. And when we went backstage after the show, man said, that's what he's planning on doing. He's going to announce it in a few months. But that was Billy Graham. I got to interview Dr. Billy Graham too. And the biggest regret of his life was that he thought about going into politics. For some reason, there's a snafu. Is that the right word?
Snafu, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to spell that out, though, but anyway.
But listen, so you were a pastor for 40 years. Now, I personally don't believe in retirement. And you have a real... I celebrate you. I've only just met this man. I don't know you. By the way, in case you're just tuning in, we're talking with Craig Englert. He was a pastor in Maui for 40 years. He's visiting Vero Beach, Florida. But I don't know about this retirement thing. I mean, do we ever retire? I don't know if it's in God's plan. I mean, are you retired from the church but doing other things? Are you still leading people to Christ? Or
yes, still do. My heart is especially for the young adults, you know.
Great.
First of all, you know, God raised up a whole generation of strong leaders, and my goal was to find a leader that we raised up. You know, making disciples is a big deal, and so from our church,
yes,
we've had. Look, I can get distracted.
Go ahead.
But the thing is. My goal was to find someone who would take my place who is 40 years old and someone who is not too old to reach the young people, not too young to reach the older people. Somewhere in the 40s.
Do you think you're getting too old to reach young people?
Well, yeah. It's just the idea. You know, I was 72 when when I finally
but that's young. Got me fired. I mean, come on. God didn't start using Moses till he was 80.
No, but it's really good to be able to disciple people for the next generation while you're still alive.
Yes.
Rather than yanking the pulpit away from you. You know?
And 80% of the people that would come forward in a Billy Graham crusade wore 25 years of age and younger.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
To hear, anyways. And to know. But the idea of what actually happened is just God raised up the pastor who, on the day of my retired, is the person, his name is Ben Fragnell. He is the one that took my place. He was 40 years old a week after my retirement service. In other words, he was born 1 week after we started the church. So, and he was a perfect 40 years of age.
Well, 40 is the number of testing, because 40 days, 40 nights, Noah, 40 years out in the desert with Moses, 40 days, 40 nights with Jesus in the desert, 40 is the number of testing.
Yeah, well, it was perfect for how God moved in that way. And so what I've been doing is my major focus is continue to work with the young adults. That's been my heart to do.
Wonderful.
And we have 12 full-time interns that we have at our church.
So you're still attending the church and participating?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, very much so.
Yeah, oh, okay.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
And and by the way, I have 12 grandchildren in Maui, and all my kids are in Maui, so we can't go anywhere.
12 grandchildren.
So there's nowhere we can go. But the idea
you're a wealthy man.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So
that's wealth.
And that's part of my retirement, spending time with these guys, you know.
Sure. But they need grandpa.
But but the idea is the focus that I have been involved with has been these last few years. It's been with young adults, and I have a discipleship class I've been doing for my whole life, you know, for 40 years.
I want to ask you this. Now, you know, personally, I know that I'm not a perfect man at all. When I first came to know Jesus, I was going to be the best son God ever had next to Jesus, you know. And it didn't work out, though. I tried to live like a monk for 7 years and all this other thing. So what I want, but sometimes I think maybe Jesus said the path is narrow and few there be to find it. He said, you know, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I know that I had a born-again experience. I know that if he's called me by name audibly, but I wonder, you know, am I supposed to be some sort of a holy guy, you know, that's really beyond reproach and, you know, never has an ill thought or never raises his voice or never sins or whatever it might be, you know? How do you think about that? Do you think that, in other words, I guess I'm asking about grace out there, because it is written, it's his kindness. It's your kindness that leads me to repentance, oh Lord. When we get caught up again and tangled up, thinking we got tin cans tied to us, I got these sins, I wasn't, you know, pure to you, Lord, I did this or that after knowing him, and yet when we find out, if he visits us again and says, no, I paid the price for that, I'm your advocate. Someone would say it's like this, you're going to be in the judge is there, and you're standing before the judge, and he's going to say, guilty, and all of a sudden this man in the back with a beard and long hair is going to stand up and say, no, I paid the price.
Yes, indeed, that's an important message to really focus in on. And how important that is, especially when you become a Christian, to always keep that in mind, you know, because you think that, like...
So we can't earn.
Exactly. But it's we're so tempted to go back to that we have to earn it, you know, because of...
Yeah.
We have continued in our sin, you know, at different levels.
But good fruit will follow
if
you truly
grow.
Know Christ.
Yeah.
What about the fact that he comes up to these guys in the end? He says, in the end times, there's going to be people that are going to say, we did signs and wonders. We had tent. I didn't say this. It doesn't say this in the scripture, but, you know, we delivered. It said, we had tent revival. I put that in there myself. But we delivered people from demons, and we did this and that. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me. And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. They're going to say, I don't remember you, Jesus. Who was? We don't remember you. And he says, well, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you visited me in jail, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, you did it unto me, come in, for your reward is great. That sounds like a ministry, I mean, of works, a salvation of works. So,
and so the question is
yeah, I mean, so if he says to these other guys, which, you know, you think of some of these guys, these creepy guys on TV or whatever, you know, and go, you know, they're delivering demons, and Jesus is going to say, I never knew you.
Yeah, the thing I see, I never knew you, is the idea of always going back to that personal relationship with God. You know, people enter into that real relationship, not religion.
Right.
Not into, what's that word? Sorry, this can't come
up. You mean
up.
Some people can actually be delivering, telling demons to go in Jesus' name, they will, and yet they themselves don't even know the master.
Exactly. That's the thing, because it's entering in, because this is the children that come into the kingdom. You know? It's a relationship, and how important it is. For those that do come to Christ, you know, that they have come into that place through the work of the Holy Spirit, that they're a child of God, and they have the insurance of that. But it's all tied into, are they really in a relationship with God? And when we are in a relationship with God, our desires change dramatically, that those who love me will obey my commandments. And so if you love him, you will, you know, obey
his commandments. Just out of love.
Yeah, and obviously not perfectly, because we have to confess our sins. That's all part of it.
Mm.
But there is a lot of people, I'm sad to say, that are charlatans.
Someone's listening to this right now, and God's amazing with circumstance. It could be 100 years from now with the way they keep electronics up. But if somebody's listening to this right now and they don't know Jesus, would you lead them in a short prayer that whoever you are, you might recite this. You're in your car, you're at home, you're at work, you're on the beach, wherever you are. If you'd really like to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, as this fine gentleman has, then maybe you could lead them in a prayer.
I would love to. Brett, I would love to. And so that is you, then I would encourage you just to really, even right now, close your eyes just, and just reflect upon what has been shared here. And so I want to pray this prayer. I want to encourage you from your heart to pray along with me. Pray this. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.